Well, we're going through this book on the War Room. That's from the War Room movie. And we're going to watch a clip again tonight. And we're kind of switching things around because we're going to do session five because we're doing communion tonight. And session five is on confession and repentance. So it just goes along with communion. And Rick and I had kind of agreed on that earlier in the week. And so I just want to challenge you. You know, walking with God means continually allowing him to reveal things in our heart. The Bible says that his word is like a sword that cuts, and it reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart, divides between thoughts and intents of the heart. It says that there is no creature that is not naked and open before him. And as the word reveals things in our heart, we walk closer as God reveals things, and we surrender them, and we repent, and we confess. And so it is an awesome privilege and responsibility that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, because that is the only way that we can get closer to him. Because otherwise, we can deceive ourselves, and we can walk in, you know, what we think as opposed to what he thinks. And so as we study these scriptures tonight, I just challenge you to let the Holy Spirit reveal, and that I believe that God is purifying us. I know he is with me. And I just challenge you that as you walk closer to him, he will say, you need to walk closer. You need to surrender more, you need to offer more to him. But then we look like Jesus, to where Jesus only did what his Father said. He never acted of his own will. He never said things that he felt like saying. He only was led by the Father. And if we're going to be like Jesus and follow in his steps, then we have to continually be allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal himself, the Holy Spirit to reveal things in our hearts and in our lives. Genuine, true repentance. Something that it feels like in the world today is very hard at times to admit our wrong when we are faced with it. But the truth is, it is the only thing that really brings in our lives. And we have to go beyond just apology. We have to go to change. And in the movie, Tony does. He not only repents, but he bears fruit of repentance. And that's what the Bible says that we continually have to do. Throughout our Christian lives, we will be faced with moments of confrontation with our sin. It is in those moments that our Christian lives either go forward or turn to the right or to the left. And we have to, if we are really and truly going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to come just like Tony, with that much brokenness, with that much surrender, with that much repentance. In genuine confession of our sin before God and before people. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. And the Lord brought verse 27 to my mind, but we're going to start with verse 25. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You can be seated. The enemy works very hard to get us to turn a tide to the right or to the left. He brings things in our way that can cause us to turn off the path of righteousness. He causes situations to make us question, but we never have to turn aside. We can always, just like Jesus, set our face like a flint, and we can look at the end result, and we can say to God, you are worth it. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it costs me, no matter how hard it is on my flesh and my pride, God, you are worth it. And if we continually do that, we will continually find ourselves in a place of right relationship with God. Because Psalm 24 says that who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So it has to be not only our actions, but our heart. It has to go deeper than just what we do. It has to go into our heart, into our thoughts, into our motives, into our intents. And so true surrender to God requires us to stay on his path and continually do things his way. It requires us to evaluate not only our actions, as I said, but our motives. It requires us to confess in honesty and completeness our sin and wrong attitudes and motives to God. And if we are truly walking with Him, He will continually bring us back to this place. He will continually bring us back to the cross. Because He loves us so much that He is willing to refine us. When He refines us, it is to burn the impurities out that are in all of us. He shows us our sin, not just so that we feel guilty, but so that that guilt drives us to genuine repentance, like we saw in Tony. And you know, it is when we do that, that God can really cleanse us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we are faced with our sin is the most vulnerable times in our Christian life. When we are really and truly honest with ourselves, but it is in those moments that we understand God's grace like never before. Because if we are not truly honest about how much we have sinned, then we really don't understand how much grace God has, because we don't need it. If I haven't really sinned that much, then I really don't need that much grace. And that was the difference between the Pharisee and the woman that Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much loves much. The truth is, all of us have been forgiven much. It doesn't matter if you've been raised in the church. It doesn't matter if you're 7 or 8 years old. I used to tell the teenager all the time, look, if you only sin one time every day, multiply that times 365, then multiply that times your age. You're 13, by the time you stand before God, you've got a whole lot of sin. All of us have sinned much. So why did the Pharisee love little? Because he wasn't aware of his own sin. He had shut his eyes to his sin because he was so busy looking at the woman's sin. We have to be careful. And this says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I used to tell the kids in Good News Club, because we used to teach this all the time. And I used to tell them, confess just means tell on yourself. It just means be honest about your sin. The beautiful thing is that when our heart is tender toward the Lord, we will not have any peace or any rest when we're in sin. When we're in danger is when we can have sin and we can be okay. But when the Lord begins to show us our sin and we have no peace, that's a good sign, because that means we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And at that point, then we take that guilt to the cross. And we say, Lord Jesus, you paid to cover this guilt and shame. You paid that if I would confess my sins, that you were faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, he really does cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we understand grace. And then we love much, because we understand that we have been forgiven much. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice it says, I have been crucified. Past tense. Not I will be crucified one day. I have been crucified. Continually, we have to look at ourselves as crucified, as dead. That self has been crucified. We have to say, it is no longer I. This is a statement of determination. It is no longer I who live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is a determination that it is no longer I who live. I am not living by self. I am living by faith in the Son of God. And grace brings us to that place. To that understanding. Liz said to Tony, I've learned that my contentment can't come from you. She said, Tony, I love you, but I am his before I am yours. And because I love Jesus, I am staying right here. If my mom has said lots of times, and my dad used to quote a message that they had heard a man preach a long time ago, if your love is right, your life will be right. Well, if our love relationship with Jesus is right where it needs to be, it will keep everything else in perspective. It will keep our priorities right. It will keep us in right relationship with other people. Look in Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. And this is strong scriptures that probably a lot of you have heard, but it's some of those scriptures that I feel like we go, oh, well, you know, not really. Like, we don't really think that Jesus expects this from us, but he does. Luke 14, 25 says, now great multitudes went with him. I love this because Jesus would have a large number of people with him. Notice he did not say, okay, everybody bow your head, pray this sinner's prayer with me, and then you will all be saved. You'll all be my followers. You'll all be on your way to heaven. Everything will be good in your life and you can follow. No, Jesus did exactly the opposite. He would have large crowds following him and he would say some of the hardest statements that would cause people to evaluate. Wait a minute. Because he knew that relationship with him was going to mean ultimately for most of his followers in that time, it was going to mean death. And so if they weren't ready to give up everything and pursue him to the point of death, they might as well know from the beginning. They might as well admit where they were and what he required of them from the beginning. So Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. These strong words. These are Jesus' words. Nothing added to, nothing taken away. If you do not hate these other people now, we know that the Bible says that we are to honor our father and mother. In the Greek, this word, though, hate, it means to detest. It also means to love less. In our Christian walk, and I don't want to take away from this because I think sometimes we soften it. To detest means to dislike someone or something very strongly. I was amazed. I kept waiting for it to be softened, you know, for it to say something a little less and a little nicer. But the truth is, our love for God needs to be so much higher and so much stronger, and we need to be so much more committed to him that in comparison, our love for everybody else looks like hate. We know that God wants us to love other people. He said throughout the Gospels, we see that he told us to love. But when it comes to our devotion to him, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That doesn't leave any love for anybody else. If we love him with everything that we have, then we don't have any love left over. So how does that work? When we love him to the point that all of our love is directed towards him, then he fills us with his love to love other people. And then we love on a completely different way. Because we love him first. We love him with all that we are, with all that we have, with all of our mind, soul, strength, and everything that we are. And then we are prepared to be in right relationship with everybody else. That is strong. Because notice who it says. It doesn't say the people at work. That would be easy. Like, oh, okay, I just have to hate them in comparison to my love for Jesus. Notice, mother, father, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also. All the way down to ourselves, we have to hate ourselves in comparison to our love for Jesus Christ. Now, the second commandment that Jesus said is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you are to love yourself, but you love yourself with a small degree in comparison to the way that you love God. And God has been showing me this as I have studied the fear of the Lord. I have figured out that so much of Christianity is backwards. So much of it is about him serving us instead of us serving him. So much of it is about, God, you don't do things the way that I like, and you're not doing things in my timing. And the truth is, he is God and we are not. And at some point, we have to love him to the degree that, God, whatever you do, God, if you take my life, if you take my family, if you take everything that I have, I will, like Job, say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We have got to get to that point in our Christian life. And if we're not, then we need to repent. There is no excuse for it. It's not like, oh, well, I'm just not at that place in my Christian life. Jesus said, then you're not his disciple. This is strong stuff, but this is what he said. He said, if you do not do these things, then you cannot be my disciple. So how do we do that? We go just like Tony did, and we said, God, I need you to help me to love you more because I love other people more. God, I need you to help me to love everything and everyone, even myself, less than I love you. I need you to help me to hate everyone else in comparison because I love you so much. Because you know what? When we love God that much, we will be able to do whatever he tells us to regardless. And that is where we're supposed to be. We need to continually be keeping Jesus first in our lives. When we love others more, we begin to see through their eyes often instead of through his. We struggle with obedience because our heart is divided between our love for other people and our love for him. And I know because I have struggled with this myself. And God had showed me, and I admitted this before, God showed me, you fear people more than you fear me. And I had to repent and say, God, help me to fear you more than I fear anybody else. Help me to love you more than I love anyone or anything, even myself. And when we are completely emptied of love, because all of our love is dedicated to him, because you know what? God can handle our fleshly human love because he can take it and he can purify it. Other people, when we offer our love that is not his love, it's not perfect. But when we give all of the love that we have within us to him, God can purify it. Jesus can fill us with his love, and we can love other people with his love. And that is the best way to be. So when we love him with all of our heart, again, notice that, not some, not save a little piece, not a little bit. When we love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, then we can truly love as he loves. Because when all of us is dedicated to him, all of him can live through us. And then we can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we offer all of our love to him, we open our hearts to be filled with his love to love others. And so we're going to play a song and we're going to prepare ourselves for communion, because communion is a precious thing. Because without communion, without what Jesus did and what we remember when we take communion, we cannot experience true grace. Because if we have not experienced true brokenness before God, we cannot experience his grace. Because we will always be like the Pharisee. We will always be thinking that really God didn't have that much to forgive us of. And you know what? I am still at the place where God shows me things in myself and I go, God, I need you to forgive me. We need to continually be at that place, allowing God to purify our hearts, to purify our motives, to purify our thoughts, to keep us right before him. And so as this song plays, I just want to invite you, if you do not hate everybody else, that like that scripture says, in comparison to your love for Christ, then I want to challenge you to repent, because that's what the word says that we're supposed to do if we're going to be his disciples. Hebrews 10:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. I believe that God wants to consume us with himself so that we burn for him above anything and everything else. And so as this song plays, I just challenge you to just let the Holy Spirit deal and prepare your heart for him so that we can receive. It says, for I received from the Lord in verse 23, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. And so as this song plays, I just want to challenge you to be in right relationship with the Lord before you take communion, because this says it is very important that we do that. And so if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I just want to challenge you as this video plays, you can make a commitment to the Lord tonight. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And so as this video plays, I just want to invite everybody to come forward and get your communion, and we'll receive together.